It deflects into foul ground, coming in to score. Hellman, here comes Duran, throw at the plate, and Duran is out.
And the Rangers can't challenge.
They can't challenge it. The call from plate umpire Chad Fairchild is out at the plate.
We are opening with the Texas Rangers somehow, some way on the Monday edition of Sean and RJ live here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. If you were like me, you were all in on TCU versus Bill Belichick in the debut. That thing got out of control fast. Switch on over. Okay. Ninth inning. See the Rangers. Maybe a feeble attempt at a comeback. Maybe you get one runner on. They come back to stun Arizona on the road for their sixth straight victory, and they are a game and a half back in the wild card. Holy holy smokes.
What
holy
a great smokes. Job by the boys.
Unbelievable. And the injuries keep piling on, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, everybody who's getting thrown in there is doing a bang-up job. And, like, you know, this was a weird game because Corbin, you know, he didn't. The numbers don't look, I don't think, as bad as maybe he was at times. Like, I mean, to give up three home runs, it's not good, but they're all solo shots. You know, two of them were the first two hit. They literally, like, it could be much worse. You could have two guys on when those guys come up, and you have the same amount of home runs, and all of a sudden it looks way, way different. But to allow, you know, like, three, like, you know, pretty good pokes. So, you know, you don't have your A-plus stuff. It doesn't mean he was bad. He doesn't have his A-plus stuff. And, you know, for them to come and scratch and claw and get a completely out of nowhere triple. Jake Berger doesn't hit triples.
With a limping Adolis Garcia.
Yeah, who could have moved around the bases faster in that instance, you think? Adolis or Bochy? Like, he was right. He looked like he was gingerly just trotting.
I mean, G-Bag will make fun of his weight now, I'm sure.
I was about to destroy Bochy. I was going to murder. It took a Jake Berger triple for me not to kill Bochy. There's no excuse for Adolis Garcia to be left out there. If he would have gotten held up at third,
Or hurt even more.
And they immediately pulled him from the outfield after that. Adolis running around the bases. Berger triple. The Zeke slide. Cody Freeman coming up big. So many heroes.
Yeah, my assumption on that was, like, Bochy didn't think that, like, Berger's a strikeout or a home run guy, right? Like, that's it. He's not, they don't think, oh, he's going to shoot the gap. And Adolis is going to be right. We're just going to try to get Adolis to the next inning, right? Because now, you know, we're going to try to get him. I have no idea. Like, honestly, because they already used Duran. They already used Moore. Like, all they had was Osuna to pinch run. And I don't know why they decided to do that.
It was ridiculous.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It was ridiculous. And Adolis just got hurt. He's always hurt. He always gets these types of injuries. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
He look as he's running around the bases, you can almost hear him like sucking through his teeth, like, like, I mean, when you watch it, it does not look like anybody who should be out on a baseball field at that moment. But luckily it was far enough in the gap that he was able to get down there. And then, of course, you had Jake Berger rounding around getting the triple, and then you get just that like little doink into the outfield to tie the game, and then you get the shot off of the pitcher in the 10th to score the other ones, where Duran comes in and gets that second one. And it's good. It's nice. It's positive. It's good to see a couple of victories against some bad baseball teams.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to try to hang on to your trade deadline take.
17% playoff odds still.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There was at 9 last week.
Yeah.
Double. Yeah. Go.
So
let's
go. What happens when you play the A's and the Diamondbacks?
It does not matter right now who you're playing whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you wanna get in and then say they're going to get worked and they're going to get smoked,
who cares?
Then you can go ahead and break it out. It does not matter right now. By the way, against the A's this season, 8-5 was the season series, so it's not like they feasted off of Sacramento or whatever the hell they are.
I still call them Oakland.
Oakland, fine.
I still call them.
Yeah, it does not matter right now. And as Jared Sandler points out, meaningful baseball to start September for just the second time since 2017.
Yeah, like that's always. I used to get like into these like these philosophical baseball discussions. What is a successful season? And for some organizations, it's title or bust. And some, it's like, hey, you know, play meaningful baseball in September. Like that, you know, play meaningful base get in September, the final month, you have 30 days left. You could scoreboard watch every single night. It's fun. That's like for 99% of the teams out there that aren't the Dodgers or Yankees, that's the successful season. And you've got there. You're there. You're playing meaningful ball in September when football's going.
And this is with the Yankees and the Red Sox both 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, I think it's Seattle they're picking the ground up on.
Yeah, Seattle's 5-5 over their last 10. And then Kansas City, who is right behind you, they're 5-5 in their last 10. But no Seager and no Eovaldi, it doesn't make any sense. And this is why Brett Boone will come on tomorrow and go, strange lady, that's the way baseball goes.
And no Evan Carter, and no Marcus Semien, and now we wait on Garcia.
Yeah. But an incredible turn of events. Pepe, are you back in? Are you back waving the white towel?
I gave Corey Majors the white towel back. I said, you know what, Corey, I don't need it because he was the one originally waving it on Twitter saying, all right, you know, I've given up. But no, they're back in it. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about the upcoming schedule. You had the Angels, the A's, and the Diamondbacks. And you had to basically not go perfect, but you needed to go 6-3, 7-2. And that's what they've done so far. And with Corbin, it was, you know, struggles early on, but he's with Eovaldi out. You need him to be that first half of the year, Corbin. You know, Patrick Corbin, because before, you know, we were talking about, could we have traded the guy for something, for a piece here? And, you know, he kind of fell off a little bit after July, but no, it's a great job by the guys and
the boys.
And, but then after the Diamondbacks series, it gets tough. It gets real tough.
Bruce Bochy on the young, the boys.
Huge game for the kids. I mean, they came through in a big way. You know, we got two outs, two strikes, and Freeman, he does a good job putting in play. I mean, it's hard to get more clutch than that. And of course, Osuna, he hasn't played in a while, gets up there in his first at bat and ends up knocking in two. He smoked that ball. And no, great job by the kids, everybody. I don't know who didn't do something to help us win this ball game.
Is boys or kids considered older? Have they graduated to kids?
Huge game for the kids.
Yeah. Young people.
Huge game for the boys. Huge game for the kids.
Huge game for the young people.
Let's talk about the kids. Let's talk about the kids that the Hoodie is trying to coach up against Fort Worth. TCU, Bill Belichick debut, and this thing could not have started off more perfect for the Tar Heels, and then downhill.
That was a rewarding performance, and this is a rewarding run as Gavorian Barnes is out the gate, inside the 30, to the 10. Touchdown TCU, 75 yards and no flags.
Bill Belichick turning into an absolute joke on social media, 48-14. The Horned Frogs felt disrespected. Sonny Dyke said it afterwards. Everyone making fun of the ESPN pregame show. Did you have a chance to sneak in at all? The TCU was a decent squad. Again, 5 minutes in, Twitter was saying, and you thought Sonny Dykes versus Belichick. It was never a fair fight. Oh, my gosh, the Hoodie is here. Perfect. Perfect opening drive. And then they get destroyed, Bobby.
Yeah, what was the, was it Herb Street that was making the note? I can't remember which one of them was.
Or was it his dog?
It could have been his dog.
That they threw on, apparently, at the end of this thing because it got so out of hand, they put the headset on the dog.
It was where they were talking about how it had been, if you looked at, like, going into the third quarter, Gio Lopez had, it had been like,
it had been
2 hours since he completed a pass or something on the clock, on the actual clock. It had been 2 hours since he had last completed a pass.
TCU had scored 35 unanswered points by the time between completed passes.
What?
He completed a pass in the first drive, and then TCU rattled off 35 straight, and then he completed his next pass.
This is if you look at the numbers of this thing, TCU 29 first downs, North Carolina 10. TCU 7 for 12 on third down. North Carolina 1 for 10. Total yards 542 for TCU, 222 for North Carolina. This is beautiful. I love it. This is a lot more where this came from this year for North Carolina.
They had a really good opening drive.
Amazing.
Right? Like you could tell, like, they scripted the plays well, whatever you want to say that happened there. They had a really good opening drive. And then they had a really awful next 2.5 quarters. It was like really, really bad. And the good news is this is probably the last time you'll have to watch North Carolina football this year.
Look, I started off wanting Belichick to succeed this year. I wanted to see, like, true football brilliance. Like, I respect him for the stones of going to a brand new level, starting over as an older coach and saying, I'm going to undertake this at a non-powerhouse school. So If you had me picking whether I would want North Carolina to run the table throughout the rest of the year, I probably would, just because the story would be incredible. But when he did that pregame interview with Holly Rowe, the hatred in my bones and my blood started boiling up. Like, you freaking prick. You are a you are going his little fake media smiles for the 1 year he was unemployed, and then he goes back to being an absolute jerk with Holly and talking with everyone else. He had his little pep rally crew up there with Brewski and Saban and Randy Moss. They got his little pep rally crew. So I started rooting for TCU real quick when it started getting out of hand. Yeah. But man, what a humbling, as all the Michael Jordan up there and what's her face, Jordan Hudson, with all their copyrights and trademarks. It brought up my North Carolina Belichick hatred.
Probably in hindsight, not the best idea letting her call plays for the game.
Yeah, I don't think I'd let her game plan anymore. This was
Bobby was working the memes.
Oh, I've got so many to use for the rest of the year. I didn't even get to like a quarter of them last night. Just have them saved in the drafts. They picked up 83 yards on that opening drive. 4 minutes fast down the field, They score. From that point, it was on the game clock, 34 minutes, more than a half, and they picked up 83 yards in the next 34 minutes.
Ooh-hoo.
They were absolutely awful. They didn't start moving the ball until Max Johnson came in there. Son of?
Brad?
Brad Johnson. That is Brad Johnson's kid. Very good job.
Very nice. It was a guess.
What did y'all honestly think North Carolina was going to be this season?
Look, I still think they have a chance to win 7 games.
They got Charlotte and Richmond coming up back to back.
Look at their schedule. They miss Miami. They don't play BC.
They got Clemson, California, Virginia, Syracuse, Stanford, Wake Forest, Duke, NC State.
They'll lose to Clemson.
And UCF.
They'll lose at Cal, and they'll lose at Syracuse.
They'll have a losing record.
You think so?
Yeah, they're not good. They're really bad, and Bill has no idea what he's doing.
But why do you say that?
Because the college game is just, it's going to be completely different. And the fact that he is, like I said, it was a joke last week, but I mean, it is sort of serious. The fact that, like, as he's adjusting to this game, he's out there worrying about filing trademarks for Gold Digger with Jordan Hudson, that's bad. He's not ready for this. And it looked like it last night. Sonny destroyed him. And I saw somebody say something last night. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, there are so many college coaches who are in, like, just dislike the Belichick aura that's being brought to college when they don't think he's ready for it, that they're like, you're going to see a lot of teams that if they get the chance, they're running it up on North Carolina this year.
Wow.
The thing about a college season, too, Belichick loves to do this. Well, 3 games to analyze, you know. It's 3 or 4 to really feel it out. Your season could be done in 3 and 4. And then you get the ever-changing recruitment, NIL, transfer stuff that works against you. Where in the NFL, you're absolutely locked in for the year, so you could feel better about the last 3 games of the season, last 4 games of the season. You could have kids starting to say, you know what? This NFL hype could wear off real quick.
It could. I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. Like, it's a different game. Bobby's right. It's a completely different game. I mean, half the time these teams are in 3-3-5 defenses, which how many NFL teams are in that? You know, it's just a different world. And then you're constantly trying to cobble together a roster. You have no idea. That's why all these preseason rankings, they've got to do it. They're so dumb. You don't know how these teams are going to play together. And you go look, I mean, obviously, you had a ton of matchups between top 10 teams this week anyway, but you did have a lot of teams that were preseason ranked that just looked ugh. And then you had teams that were unranked that looked like world beaters.
I think we've already kind of gotten the answer in the last couple of years, and I think we had the answer over the course of 20 years, but this is going to help contribute to giving us the answer that Brady was more responsible than Belichick.
The Cowboys start spending. Some of the Micah money was Dak totally fine with Parsons leaving, and the buildup to Philadelphia starts officially this week. We take you inside the Star with all the latest on the Cowboys. It's a loaded Tuesday edition on Sean and RJ. Glad you're waking up with us right here on The Fan. We got so much, I don't know where to start. The Cowboys locking up Deron Bland. Are we reading between the lines that Dak signed off on Micah getting shipped out of town? And is Trayvon Diggs getting ready to make the debut Thursday night? All these things coming at you on the official home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being part of the 6 a.m. Club with a Tolo Tuesday edition with the opener on Thursday. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. I guess we'll get rid of the Micah stuff early as he had the opening press conference in Green Bay and gave his thoughts and feelings on how he felt about being dealt.
Honestly, everything happens for a reason. It's a blessing in disguise. You know, I may not know how to answer for you yet, but I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to work hard every day to prove that, you know, the Packers organization made the right decision and trusted me, and, you know, I'm going to carry that with me.
Not really a lot of drama or mudslinging in this, I felt. He is going to wear number one. I don't think that's been worn there since Curly Lambeau back in the day.
I'm out on people who are number one. It's the look at me number.
But you were 23.
Well, yeah. I was the best player on the team.
I thought it sounded like Micah was willing to miss games. He's like, I didn't want to have to go there, deprive my teammates. I want to be out there and playing. Now, maybe he's got to keep up that public front. I don't know, but it sounded like he was willing to take it there. I know you said, Bobby, at the firehouse, that's probably what was going to happen. And then Micah said he did not have any say in what team the Cowboys traded him to. No back issues. Quote, physically, I'm great. We'll get to that in a second. What else did you take from the presser?
Yeah, I think it was generally playing nice. And sort of, I think everybody recognized, I think both parties probably could have gone nastier in their press conferences if they wanted to. Jerry could have been uglier in his, you know, the Cowboys could have been uglier in theirs. Micah could have been uglier in his. And instead, they're going, you know what? Plenty of time, move forward. I mean, they're going to have to see each other in a month. And so when they see each other, there'll be plenty of discussion about it then. And maybe we see a little bit more. But yeah, I think that what the impression you got there from Micah was that, at least to me anyway, I think he's projecting that he didn't want to leave, regardless of his request. And we already know that he went back to the Cowboys, tried to restart talks, as Jane Slater reported, and him saying there, describing it as getting to Green Bay as, well, this is a blessing in disguise. Well, that doesn't sound like you got your way then, necessarily, if you wanted out of here that bad.
And so, his brother Terrence said, look, to you dumb blanks thinking Micah's making less with the whole tax thing that's going around, he would have signed for 43 in Dallas had Jerry picked up the phone and negotiated with his agent. So Terrence continues to say that, and Micah, I think, continues to suggest that. I just wanted you to deal with my representation, and Terrence says he would have signed for 43.
It's that spring meeting. This entire thing ultimately comes down to what happened in that spring meeting and how it was represented, and then the lack of, or the damaged trust that came out of that. And I mean, obviously, it's being told in two very different ways what that was and what that was meant to be, and we'll probably never totally know what it is, just like we still don't know who agreed to the cameras in the draft room or this or that with Jimmy and Jerry.
So we were trying to follow up on Nick Eatman's appearance on Friday from DallasCowboys.com, because Nick was saying that the reported 5 for 202 maybe a little bit off in terms of the numbers. And what we were trying to do is figure out if Jerry, in March, before all the ugliness, actually offered Micah 43 or 44 instead of 40. Because when Nick said that, we were all like, what? Huh? Is he saying that the offer was much, much better? And if that was the case, what I tweeted, if it's true that Jerry offered Micah in January 43 or 44, I absolve Jerry Jones of any blame and any responsibility. I would put it 100% on Micah Parsons for not accepting that deal. What are you thinking, or what did you find out, or what are you hearing?
We'll be able to get better details on this probably either later today or tomorrow, but with certainty, I know from both sides that was not their offer. And so they did not offer. They offered the 40 and a half. The number that was out there that was reported, the 202, that's the number. And I think when we get into the details and figure out the nitty-gritty of, like, cash flow in the first few years and what actually was guaranteed and when and what kind of trigger dates were in there, I don't think it was particularly close on the contract.
So, like, I guess my question for that would be, And you have to go back and do so. Like, when was that offer made in reference to the other contracts that were done? When Miles did his new deal, when
Miles was done.
Miles was done, TJ was not.
TJ was not. So Miles was done, and that was just at 40.
Yeah.
Like,
barely going over that.
So, yeah. So Miles went from the previous high was, what, 35? So he jumped $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, if I'm an owner in the league, I'm not jumping another $5 million the same offseason.
Well, you don't have to I mean? Like, jump $5 million, but like 43.
How about 41? Why is it, you know? Like,
a lot of people would also argue Miles was fighting for a, like, he was trying to get a pay raise. He was not, like, up for the extension the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Miles just wanted a reset.
I hear what you're saying, though.
I'm not going to sit here. Like, if Jerry offers top of the market, if he offered 40 and that's what the top of the market is, that's 40, and they've already jumped the market by $5 million that offseason. And, I'm not going to sit here and blame him for that.
Do we owe Parsons an apology for making fun of the back injury when Adam Schefter puts out that he's been dealing, by the way, Micah practiced in the New Jersey. I saw him hitting the sled. I wouldn't be doing that with a really bad back, but I'm not a professional athlete or an amateur one. Mike has been dealing with an L4, L5 joint sprain in his back and may take an epidural injection prior to Sunday's game against the Lions if needed. Before trading Parsons last week, the Cowboys prescribed him a 5-day plan of an anti-inflammatory, a prednisone, to help him recover from back tightness, had him on a physical therapy program. So do we owe Micah a back treatment apology?
No, what that tells me is when they said his MRI came back pretty clean, that means they looked at it and said, sure, there's something here maybe somebody could say. So we'll give you a 5-day run of steroids. We'll get you, like, we'll run you a pack of steroids, basically. Not HGH type of steroids, but like the literal anti-inflammatory steroids.
Fine, here's your treatment. Yeah.
They're giving him prednisone.
Not like the Debbie Clemens supplementation regimen.
Kristen gets prednisone when she has like a sinus infection. That's basically what they're
epidural.
An epidural sounds like that's a little bit more serious.
That does, but I don't I thought when they give the epidural to like women when they're labored, it's like, yeah, you can't feel anything now at all. You can't even move. Like, it's one of those things where I would think he couldn't even feel his legs if that was the case.
It's the spinal tap, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, look, if that's true, that's serious. Like, you don't just get injections in your back.
No,
you don't get injections in there.
This is me speaking. You know what? Let's play the Micah clip from Friday's presser on how you're now feeling.
Well, I think physically, I'm great. You know, I think I can contribute a lot. I'm gonna team up with the doctors to create a plan. We already talked about how we can ramp things up and get me into a flow where they feel comfortable and I feel comfortable. But, you know, my plan is to be here. You know, they didn't give up what they gave up for me to sit on the sidelines and make this big of a, you know, risk and change for me to do that. So I'm finna give my all.
In my opinion, this is Sean speaking, David Mulugeta hit up Schefter and Rappaport and had to give some credence to the whole back thing that was here and missing camp. I don't know why you necessarily have to. Like, we all could look at it and go, we know Jalen Ramsey wasn't really hurt to be missing games when he forced his way. I can't even keep track of where Ramsey left the latest time. Was it out of Jacksonville? He got out of Jacksonville.
Jacksonville to the Rams, then Rams to Miami.
But this, to me, is just the agent being like, hey, let's give some legitimacy to this.
Oh, sure. It's probably just a floated story just for kicks, right? But, you know, if they do actually give him an injection, it's like, oh, okay.
And then he'll play half the game, but it'll really be because of conditioning and scheme. And then that way they can say, no, he's playing through something. He's trying to battle through it.
I think his conditioning, I wouldn't be stunned if his conditioning's up to par. He's generally a pretty good, I don't think we've ever looked at him and felt like he was somebody who was...
No, but he hasn't practiced. We all said last week he's not going to play a full game.
Right, but I said he wasn't going to play a full game more just because of where you were at in terms of the ramp up and different things. I think conditioning-wise, he's fine. It's just a matter of, like,
the context and different things. Yeah, I'm not saying he's, like, fat and out of shape. He's not in, like, regular season opener game shape.
He will, I'm sure... We're not going to hear much about this. I don't even know if, like, I haven't even looked to see. I don't even know if he's on Green Bay's injury report.
Right.
He may not be.
Dak Prescott, when you read this it sounded like he was one of the ones that signed off on it. But as always on this show, we need to hear it. Was Dak surprised that it happened?
Yeah, I was. I can't say I was completely surprised. But I definitely didn't think he was going to get traded. I'll say that. But just with the way that their negotiations went down, obviously, to some extent, I mean, hell, y'all were asking me questions. It seemed like it got personal on their ends. So that's why I wasn't surprised.
The part that blew up through text and just reading it was, I know what adding a guy like Kenny Clark, adding a true leader, a real man that's going to only elevate this team, who's been a Pro Bowl player and is excited about being here, means. So people took, we're adding a true leader, and his other tone when hearing him as, okay, maybe Dak was fine with it. Let's move forward. All sides are happy.
I mean, Jerry said it was unanimous. Brian Schottenheimer said it was unanimous. I can't imagine they wouldn't have at least asked Dak as part of that poll that they took.
Leadership Council.
Well, how much are we? I mean, I don't. When Brian, no offense, Brian Schottenheimer's show debuts tomorrow, 8:20 on this very program. When Brian Schottenheimer sits up there and says it's unanimous, I'm still halfway thinking Brian Schottenheimer is reading what is written down on his company index card. So I'm going to have to absolutely know how many people got a vote. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer's not going to sit up there and say it's not unanimous. He's got to follow what Jerry said. That's me.
But he volunteered unanimous too.
He was going to be asked by every single reporter.
Well, then I will tell you it was unanimous there. So it was.
I don't know why are you taking attitude
when I was just saying.
I didn't take any attitude with you.
You did.
I'm talking about the Cowboys.
I know. And as I said, he did volunteer it. That you were getting worked up. He's going to be asked.
Because it doesn't mean that.
I'm telling you, it was.
I don't care that he volunteered. He was going to be asked about it by every reporter in there because Jerry said it was unanimous.
Regardless, he used the language that he did. He chose the language and he brought it in. And the reason is because they were all, like, you don't put that up there either way if you know people are going to be asked about it anyway. Like, they're not going to go up there and repeat. Steven repeated it. Jerry repeated it. Schottenheimer repeated it. That's where they were at. I don't think anybody was, like, begging for him to go necessarily. But I think everybody said, do what you got to do. And nobody gave resistance to put in a fight on it.
So from now on, when Jerry says something, I'll just say, you know what? When they all go up there and agree with them, that's the absolute truth. We can question Chris Young and we can question everyone else, but when Jerry says it,
no, you can question Jerry. That's why you have to ask him about it. But I think when you hear Schottenheimer talk about it throughout that time and you hear everybody else talk about it, it's clear they all were on board.
They start spending the Micah money. The bickering that took place on the group text over the Deron Bland deal, the Nico incident in Addison, and best and worst of the weekend, all next here on 105 Through the Fan. College football kegger. Focusing on Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns at 7 a.m. right here on Sean and RJ. It's a Tolo Tuesday on DFW Sports Station. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on, and starting off your shortened week with us with the NFL opener on Thursday taking place on this station. We got Cowboys news, and Deron Bland is the first recipient of some of that leftover Micah money, a 4-year, $92 million extension with 50 guaranteed. Bland locked in through the 2029 season at 23 a year, making him the 6th highest paid cornerback in the NFL.
We'll be all in.
I mean, this is what you could do with the money that you saved with Micah. That's the whole, you know, that's one of the benefits to moving on from him. You know, you get your picks, then you get to save some cash. And then you get to use that elsewhere because, you know, one of the team-building philosophies is stars on offense, depth on defense. Don't overpay individual defensive players. This is not an overpay. You know, this is not an overpay necessarily.
Is Deron Bland the 6th best corner in the NFL? Does he have a fight to be made for that?
Last year, he obviously was hurt for a lot of it. I mean, you could have put him in the contention in the discussion after his second year. Last year being a year where he didn't even show up till midway through the season makes it a little tougher. But he was not bad last year. It's just there's not a full context there.
I mean, he had 14 picks in his first 2 years.
Yeah, he didn't have an interception last year. He was solid in coverage for the most part, though. He was not great, but he was doing a decent enough job taking guys away. I would say he was above average last year in coverage. He wasn't elite.
Well, you dove more into the deal.
Yeah, so this is essentially, it's just a three-year extension, basically, is what this is. Like not even a three-year extension. It's a three-year contract, if you include this year right now. So over the next few years, his cap hit this year is almost $6 million. His cap hit next year is $17 million. His cap hit the year after that is $17 million. After that, they can cut him and owe nothing. So, I mean, he's essentially making, on the books, he's making $6 million this year and $17 million the next two and then nothing. So he's not making, like...
He's not making 23 a year?
No. No. In fact, his salary, the only year that where he starts getting up towards 23 a year on it is when his salary is, at that point, no longer guaranteed. This is essentially structured the same way Amari Cooper's deal was, where it's set up where they could just walk away from Amari after 2-3 years if they wanted to. In fact, they typically, these contracts, when they get signed, they have these, you've got guaranteed at signing, and then you've got total guaranteed. And the guaranteed at signing means, hey, when you put your pen to paper, this is all you're owed right now. If we cut you tomorrow, we owe you this. Total guaranteed is like, there's trigger dates along the way of, oh, okay, if you're on the roster the fifth day of the league year next spring, then your salary for the next year guarantees. Well, that's typically how those triggers are built into contracts, is a year in advance. So you're really forced to choose, hey, do I want to lock in and guarantee to pay this a year out? They didn't even give that to Deron Bland. They gave Deron Bland the year of.
So which means, you saying Deron Bland signed a bad deal?
This is a very friendly deal for the Cowboys.
Oh.
The Cowboys, essentially, if they wanted to walk away from it next year, after next year, they could owe nothing. Because the only other trigger date in his contract is the fifth day of the league year in 27. So we're talking about, they basically can walk away from this free and clear definitely after 3 years, as early as two if they want
to. But Deron's not taking a loss in terms of the money per. Because in my mind, I'm like, they're not walking away from him after 2 years. So maybe he gets hurt or something. But Deron Bland is here to stay. They're weak in the corner room moving forward. His APY is fine for him.
Yeah, but APY is just can be like a essentially an accounting number. So like it looks good on the surface.
But if aside from cutting him early,
mm-hmm.
fine on Deron's side with what he got, what's going in the bank account?
I'm good with it.
No, Deron's side should be fine.
No, well, I mean, they're happy with that number. The problem is the guarantees. The guarantees are, that tells you what you're going to get. Like, after that, after you get past the guaranteed money, you generally negotiate a new deal. So either you'll be gone or you'll get a new deal out of it. And if you look at the total guarantee that he had, if you take the total guaranteed money that the top 20 corners paid in the NFL have, and you average out the top 20, it's $55 million. So Bland is $5, $6 million under what the average top 20 corner is paid in total guaranteed money.
I'll tell you, the worst part of this is the escalators. If he gets five interceptions and a playoff berth, he gets 250K. That seems awfully low.
So, yeah, he gets 12 interceptions and they'd miss the playoffs. He doesn't get his money.
That seems awfully low. Why would you tie that to the team? Didn't Saquon do that too? Wasn't Saquon's thing it was tied to the team?
Yeah. RJ Ochoa, pretty amazing the Cowboys were able to go get a deal done with Bland, given that his agent was involved, and we've been led to believe that this is stupid and honestly should be illegal.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a... The reality of this one is it's very similar to what they did with Osa in the spring, where they got a deal on Osa compared to what they were getting the rest of the market. This is essentially...
Well, David Hellman pointed this out. He goes, it makes me feel like Bland got done because it was team friendly and the Cowboys are in business for that. Tyler Smith may take a while because Tyler Smith should be very top of the market.
You would assume now the agent that he's Cowboys dealing with there...
is, if you want to give us a deal, we'll get you done early.
Yeah, and I mean the agent that they're dealing with Tyler Smith is one that they've gotten deals from before. It was Tyron Smith's agent who gave him basically a lifetime contract. So they've got a good relationship there. If Tyler wants to be here, Tyler obviously was a North Crowley guy and then went to college not too far away in Tulsa and has been with the Cowboys. It may be something where he's comfortable and wants to stay home and cuts them a deal. But that one was, Bland was the one that people anticipated could get done earlier.
Let's get to best and worst of the weekend, changing things up with the Tolo Tuesday edition. It's usually Monday at 7:40. We got Ask Reddit, though, an hour from now. Let's get to best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Let us know what you got into at 877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. I'll start with worst.
Okay.
And just kind of shove this story in here. Nico Harrison out of Twin Peaks in Addison.
He drinks scenic views.
Is this I thought I saw someone say they had a cigar. Does Twin Peaks have a cigar lounge?
Yeah, the Addison one they do.
Oh, That's pretty badass.
It is.
Well, Nico was, or bad breasts, whatever. Nico was sitting inside the restaurant, and these two guys are walking on by and decided to confront him.
Nico? Nico. What's up, man? Good to meet you. We all still hate you. All right, good. Good talk, brother.
Do better.
We all still blanking hate you. Nico actually back in the clip goes, I hate you too. And then the two guys walk around the corner. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
I know it won't be a popular reaction for me on the fan text, but come on, man. Like, it's just something you want to boo him in the arena.
Amen. Can't.
You want to not let him see?
Yeah, you can't.
he never shows up.
He never shows up. But to me, this was his lack decency.
It's completely lacking decency. He's off the clock. I know people don't want to admit that. Like that, they want to think that these guys don't have an on and off clock. You want to boom in the arena? Like Bobby said, you can't. I get it. That's when you boom. In public, he's at dinner.
I felt
just
bad.
Have some decorum.
I did feel bad for Nico in that moment.
I think like a lot of people hate Nico, and you know, nationally they make fun of him. I saw a lot of people nationally say, all right, this is the moment where, like, you kind of felt bad for him. I mean,
fantastic job. Look, if it was just the trade, that's one thing. It wasn't the trade. It was everything else after that, essentially mocking fans and telling the whole city they were stupid. He's going to have to put up with that for the rest of his life. Sorry. Like, I mean, the whole way that he handled that and the whole fallout, the way he handled that and the way he talked down to everybody when he would talk, when he would show up and say, hey, no recorders. All you guys just relay my message that I think everybody's stupid. I think he can deal with the fallout of, hey, you effing suck, by the way. That's what he's going to get. And he, I know he probably thinks everything's magically fixed because they lucked into Cooper Flagg, but this is the fallout. These are the social repercussions of talking down to a city for 6 months.
Look, I get it. He's not getting, you know, the benefit of the doubt from 99% of the people here. I'm just saying, like, it's time and place. There's a time and place for that. And then you're sitting there coming up out of nowhere, like you're just walking on the side of the street and he's inside as the window's open. Now, I will say this. The guy did it in as likable and funny and non-threatening tone of voice as possible. The comedic timing level on that guy, easy 8 out of 10.
Best of the weekend. Station pool party going down. I thought it was very, very successful turnout and event. Got the young kids there. Nick Harris stopping by. We had the food, the drinks. Corey Majors coming through by getting in the pool first, even though it had rained throughout the entire morning. So that was a little worrisome. Water was freezing. 2 days of cooler weather. It makes the water apparently freezing cold. But very successful station. Second annual Labor Day station pool party. Way better than the first one. So that was my best.
Look, that was my best. Was I had a different best, and we had a late edition last night. But the best was like being able to maneuver my schedule to make it to this thing much earlier. We were not going to get there probably till about 7 o'clock, which would have been pointless because everybody would have been gone. You were gone. You were there, but gone. We got there much earlier. But the best is shout out to our vacuum cleaner company, Dyson. They replaced it. We sent a photo. We had this. I was trying to put this thing together.
Yeah.
I was trying to, you know, fix this thing. I had to replace the trigger. They're like, no, it's broke. Can't fix it. Put it back together. Take a picture of it. And they're sending us a new one.
Very nice.
Yes, baby. That's right. Now,
hundreds of dollars saved.
$600 saved.
$600
saved.
Bobby, best and worst.
I mean, the best was the station party, which was almost ruined by rain. There was some concern that was going to go on for a while. That was sheets of rain early in the day. That delayed most everybody from getting there because, what, it was just the bosses. I think Tim and Gavin were the only ones who were there on time.
Yep.
And then I was next, and I was there at like 1:40, and it was supposed to start at 1. And so it was everybody was kind of delayed a little bit by that. It was a little bit much when Kristen obviously started getting hit with the neck pain late in the day. She thought she was going to crash at your place. She thought she was going to get Black Bear Cafe or whatever the next morning. And it didn't happen because she walked over and she just kind of crouched down and she's like starting to tear up. She's like, my neck hurts. And she's like, I don't want to sleep here tonight because I'm just going to probably cry in the side room. It's like, okay. So we got in the car. She got some different Icy Hot and different stuff like that to put on, and she was better with that. I did tell Nick Harris, I was narrating, watching her talk to you and Jimmy in the pool and everybody else. And I told Nick, I was like, this is the moment where I can always tell when she's drunk. I just got to see her body language. I was like, how wide her hand motions get. She always talks with her hand, but how wide and pointed and direct all of her hand motions get. I'm like, all right, she's gone. I know she's reached that point now. The worst, and I started to realize it the other day at your house, is that I am going to have back surgery at some point.
Oh, of course.
This is just, I gotta
got
be
a Micah L4, L5.
I got to be, mine's L5, S1. I got to be more locked in on my PT exercise, which I think I'm going to have to start doing here in the studio during breaks, which is great because you guys will certainly film those and then mock me on social media with them. But, it's getting progressively worse.
And now the two no-shows with Peyton Russell and Aiden in the back, my own show, my own guys, not making it to the event.
Sean, I'll be the first to apologize. I know Aiden is very sorry as well. I was busy Saturday, wasn't able to make it out. And then, the fumble hit me hard because my 10-year high school reunion was Saturday night as well. So Saturday was just a big punch in the face, punch in the guts to me.
You missed the reunion too?
Yeah, reunion was Saturday night in Dallas. So that sucked as well. But yeah, Saturday was not good. Not good to be Peyton. So I apologize. Next year, though, I'll make it out. You have my word.
Well, how do you know you're not going to be doing the same thing next year?
Well, you know what? I'll just say no.
Oh, okay.
Wait, so you willingly said yes.
Still have not had a reunion.
Yeah.
What?
Still have not had a reunion. My grade, my school.
No leaders.
They've nobody has done a reunion. They did a picnic one year.
Would you go back?
Yeah, I would go back.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're probably the most famous one. You got to go back if you're on top.
You know, there's a guy, there was an SNL writer. I don't know.
What era, though? Was it the non-funny era?
They're all non-funny. So,
yes. Best and worst of the weekend here with the Tolo Tuesday edition on DFW Sports Station, college football weekend and the openers. Let's do everything Arch and Longhorn disappointment. The college football kegger is next.